Thank you very much. I would say, in listening to the charges from the judge, who's, as you know, very conflicted and corrupt, because of the confliction, very, very corrupt. Mother Teresa could not beat these charges. These charges are rigged. The whole thing is rigged. The whole country's a mess between the borders and fake elections, and you have a trial like this where the judge is so conflicted he can't breathe. He's got to do his job, and it's not for me, that I can tell you. It's a disgrace, and I mean that. Mother Teresa could not beat those charges, but we'll see. We'll see how we do. It's a very disgraceful situation. Every single legal scholar and expert said this is no case, it shouldn't be brought, and it certainly could have been brought 7 years ago, not in the middle of a presidential election. It was all done by Joe Biden. This judge contributed to Joe Biden, and far worse than that, but I'm not allowed to talk about it because I have a gag order. Far worse than that, by 1,000 times worse than that. The worst I've ever heard, but I can't talk about it. It'll be talked about, but I'm not allowed to talk about it. But it'll be talked about in the history books. What's happening here is weaponization at a level that nobody's seen before, ever. And it shouldn't be allowed to happen. So I'll stay around here. This is 5 weeks. And 5 weeks of really, essentially, not campaigning, although I took a big lead in the polls over the last few weeks. Something's going on. Because I think the people of this country see that this is a rigged deal. It's a weaponized deal for the Democrats to hit their political opponent. For Joe Biden, the worst president in the history of the United States, he's destroying our country. He's letting millions of people from jails, from prisons, from insane asylums, from mental institutions, drug dealers pour in. Venezuela, if you look at their crime statistics, they've gone down 72% in crime because they're releasing all their criminals into our country because of this horrible...
This is the stuff he needs to be saying. This is, he could have done this like a million times more too. This is the stuff that he needs to do. He needs to come out and say this, like as he's hitting everything else, he needs to make sure he drives the point back to really, you know, what Democrats don't want to talk about. They don't want to talk about the border. So talk about the border. You got all the press there. So the jury is deliberating. They've been given instructions by the judge and they are deliberating. So we could have a decision today. We could also not have one today. We don't know. So we're going to just go with it and see what happens. Welcome to the program. Dana Loesch with you, top of this very first hour. And this, of course, is the first. Now we finally got some movement. I don't cover it exhaustively. I only cover and bring you things as it happens, if it's a huge development, etc. Because so many people talk about it endlessly. I don't want to drown you in it because you're getting hit from all sides with constant coverage. So this, though, is significant because now you got the jury deliberating. And this is a weird case because it, out of all the cases I have maintained, out of all of the cases, the one that you could have gotten him on, is Mar-a-Lago. Because that had to do with the federal statute that regulated the possession and declassification, the moving of classified documents. But they screwed that case up so bad. This one was ridiculous. And that's why you see certain people, because of the precedent this could potentially establish. That's why you see even Democrats who have enough sense to see into the future. That's why you have Democrats even coming out going, whoa, wait a minute. Because they're looking at it like, how is it going to affect me? How is it going to affect what I do? How is it going to affect me campaigning? And to recap, briefly, this is the case specifically that had to do with the hush money paid to Stormy Daniels. Now, yes, you might find yourself saying, well, this is why you don't screw around on your pregnant wife with a cheap, chonky stripper or whatever the hell she was. But that's not what's being discussed here. This is when you got to get really clinical and surgical. Is it illegal to give a skank money to shut her up? No, it's not. It's not illegal. You may not like it. That doesn't make it violation of the law. End of. Now, New York is funny because they're like, well, you know, yes, you can give money to your chonky escort stripper mistress and you can give her money to shut her up. But what you can't do is put it down wrong in the books. But yet, that's what all the, and even if that had happened, that would be a misdemeanor. But what Alvin Bragg and these other prosecutors, and remember there were other prosecutors in New York for years that did not want to pursue this because they said this is stupid. It's a misdemeanor at best, and it would be difficult to litigate because of that. Well, Alvin Bragg's got something to prove. These Democrats up there got something to prove. And so they were the ones who are like, yeah, you know what, let's go ahead and do it. Let's go ahead, because there's a weird law in New York wherein if you committed a crime to hide another crime, then that other crime, that the presence of that can elevate the whole thing up to a felony, right? That's where they are. That can all be elevated up to a felony. The problem, though, in this case, and I read the indictment, and we talked about it when it happened, is that they never actually said what he did. What was the other crime? Kane, did they ever actually say that?
No.
They never came back and said it.
No.
They're like, well, he committed this crime to hide the other crime. Wait a minute, what? Oh, yes. If you commit that crime because you're hiding another crime, that's at the two makes them felonies.
What crime?
Well, what was the other crime? Well, it was just a crime. That's all you need to know. A crime.
That sounds bad.
I know, right? They made it sound like he chopped up people and hid them under a bed somewhere. I don't know. They never actually got into it. That's why everyone's like, even Andy McCarthy, God love him, he's on occasionally. Andy McCarthy is a very clinical, well, highly respected former assistant U.S. attorney, right? And very well, he was in the Blind Shake trial. He was involved, the first World Trade Center bombing, he was involved in putting that guy away. He was involved in all that stuff. Very well respected. Some people previously have gotten angry at Andy because he doesn't seem like he's hardcore MAGA, right? He doesn't seem like he's a hardcore Trump fan. He is just very logical. When you even have Andy McCarthy out there going, this is nuts, that should be red flags for everybody. When you have him out there going, well, this is too much. What's the other crime? And that's the problem with this. They never actually said what it was. So this crime is a straw man of epic proportions. This could be used to teach bad law to law students for eons. It is a classic case. It is a political witch hunt. You don't have to love you some Trump to acknowledge this. What you have to love is the letter of the law, an equality before the law, and equality under the law once it's broken. It doesn't matter what your position of Trump is. If your position of a politician is fueling your biased interpretation of how the law should be applied, you have something broken in you. You are so beyond reason and thought. You should be excluded from the human population at large until you come to your senses, in case your ignorance is catching. I find that so incredibly dangerous when I see people pervert the law. This is one of the reasons why I hate DEI and everything else. When you allow your zealous bias to pervert something, the strength of which is measured by its purity, that is a major problem. And the law is part of this, like science is part of it. So when you allow your zealous opposition to a singular politician pervert your interpretation of law and its application, you endanger the republic this way. You are the problem more than anyone you would ever criticize. That is what the issue is here. There have been some on the left that have at least been smart enough to see, oh, wait a minute. Because they fully realize, as I've told you before, God forbid you get someone like me. You think Trump's bad. Oh, I'm a purist, right? I'm a purist. Like, I won't move. I will move all of my opposition. I would suck the life out of the swamp for generations. Oh, no, I wouldn't just go after them. I'd go after everyone they know. That's where I'm like Gladriel with the one ring. God forbid you get somebody like me in office. Democrats are aware of this. They're like, oh, my gosh, what if someone like this woman were ever to get in office? Can you imagine? How ghoulish. Oh, yes, absolutely. Oh, I would weaponize every agency. I would go after you. I'd be under your beds. I would be spying. Oh, I would. I freely admit it, unlike everybody else. Democrats are aware of this, which is why they're like, can you guys not do this right now? We understand you don't like Trump. That's fine. Can you not go this crazy on this? Because you are opening up a door that you will never close. And those people are right. They are correct. And so this is where we stand right now. I mean, it's really dumb to set up your opposition in such a way and give them the power to do this. It's really dumb. And so I don't know what the decision's going to be. I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be. But I do think that if there's any sense in that jury box, and I think they said, what, there's two attorneys that are in the jury, that are in the jury pool, that are in this amongst the jurors. I think they said there were two attorneys. Hopefully, I don't know. I keep hearing all kinds of stuff. Well, what the judge instructed the jury to believe, et cetera, or what they had said. There was apparently one where they were saying that they have to be unanimous about the falsification of records. Because remember, the accusation was the records were falsified in order to assist in the commission of another crime. But the rule under New York law is you don't have to be unanimous in your decision as to what the other crime was. Hell, apparently you don't even have to identify the other crime. That's kind of wild, isn't it? Especially when, like, at 7 years, no one ever went after this. So the thing that, by the way, Kane, the thing that you're putting in there is not exactly correct. The 444 split, the problem is it's the New York law. Jury was not instructed that they didn't have to be unanimous on whether or not there was a crime. They don't have to be unanimous on whether or not on what the other crime was that it was done in commission of, which goes back, Kane, to my original point. If you don't even tell them what the hell the crime was, well, how the hell can they even be unanimous on what? Do you see my whole point in this? Yeah. That's right. It's so crazy.
Yeah, that was just a Jonathan Turley tweet that I threw your way.
Well, there's still, that's for it, I get that it's a 4-4-4 split, but they don't, under New York law, because he has a whole column on this, under New York law, they don't have to be unanimous on what the other crime was. Now, Kane, let me ask you a question. You're a juror. You're sitting in that box. And the judge is like, all right, Mr. Juror.
Yep.
You have to be unanimous that a crime was committed. Now, remember, the severity of the crime being elevated to a felony is dependent upon that it was in commission of another crime, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, so we don't even have to tell you really that we're kind of going to touch on the fact that another crime was committed, but we're not actually going to tell you what it was or anything else.
But I'm supposed to base my
decision? No, you can't. No. That's irrelevant.
What?
That's irrelevant. Just on this one record-keeping thing, that's it. Even though the whole purpose of you being here is the presence of another accusation of a crime.
Yeah, so
yeah,
I
but no,
to,
no, no, you can't. You can't include that in there.
But I'd need
nope,
to know.
Nope, you can't.
But I have
nope.
to.
That's what the jurors are being told.
Well, damn.
You see what I'm saying? Is that not nuts?
It is.
Is that not crazy?
Is there a...
How is that legal?
Is there some other trial that's happened this way that we can look
no,
at?
No, I don't know. I actually was looking at that. That's why I was like going back into Charlie's backlog. And I'm like, there's nothing.
It seems like a giant legal yoga stretch.
You are correct, sir.
Okay.
I'm going to think of a fun name for this. We got to talk about Gold Co. right now. We got to talk about our partners. Sorry, Juan. We got to talk about all those good folks that help bring you free radio. I know you're like, Dana, was that analysis? I'm doing my best. It's not my problem when the judge is like, we're not going to tell you exactly what it is, but, you know, we're just going to give you kind of a winksy idea. There you go. As we move our partners who help bring you free radio, it's the folks over at ReadyWise. They want to make sure that you are ready no matter what happens. This is American grown, American pet harvested, packed from start to finish. Premium survival food. And you can use code DANA20 to save 20% on any regularly priced item. Now, ReadyWise is an American company, like I said. From start to finish, you're supporting American jobs, whether it's a sudden storm, power outages. Maybe you just want to go hunting and you don't want to be like how my grandpa lived his life, only eating Spam and drinking a gallon of unsweet tea from my grandma. That's what he did. That's what he ate every single time he went hunting. I've seen it in his little hunting camper. Like, why all the Spam? That's what he, can you imagine if he had ReadyWise? I'm just saying, whatever it is, you got peace of mind knowing you have nutritious meals on hand to feed your family. They have an emergency 1 month supply, 2 bucket bundle, 36 pouches of delicious premium survival food, entrees, breakfast, drinks, all kinds of stuff, 2000 plus calories, 50 plus grams of protein per day. Freeze dried, dehydrated, no refrigeration required, easy to prepare, just add water. 25 year shelf life as well. The time to prepare is now. Visit ReadyWise.com and use code Dana20 to save 20% off any regularly priced item. That's ReadyWise.com, code Dana20.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I was going to put this in our Florida Man segment, but it's a shark, and I feel like it's also very important for you to know this. The sharks are high finning out there. Get it? High finning. Volusia County in Florida is the shark capital of the world. The world. That's, yes, they, it's the International Shark Attack File. The most unprovoked shark attacks in the world are in Florida, particularly Volusia County, where there have been 351 attacks since 1882. Brevard County is number two with 158 attacks, Palm Beach with 83. Now, that's if you're in the shark's habitat and you're not provoking the shark and the shark comes and munches you. That's, they said most shark attacks have happened in September since 1926. Now, July, August, and October are also common months, but September, interesting. So, I'm just saying, be also super aware that you're in the shark's house when you're in any water. That's the sea in Florida. And if it's not the water, you're in the gator's house. So, just, you know, there's something going to bite you there anywhere. A Chicago mother waited hours for a police response after a Wicker Park break-in. This is why you got to be your own first responder. And unfortunately, Illinois doesn't really make that easy. A Chicago mom is raising questions because after two men broke into her home, it was 4 hours before officers arrived after she called 911. She said that there were two men who she was letting her dog outside at night before she went to bed. And two men wearing masks were outside of her house. She screamed, "I'm calling the police." They bolted. She said she called 911. And they said dispatch was on the way and waited, but she said that it took 4 hours for them to arrive. And they said they apologized, but they apparently, because nobody, you know, nobody wants to wear the badge. Everybody's being attacked. Al Ruddy, dead at 94, iconic producer who brought you Godfather. Stay with us. So there's a company that I just started using called Ammo Squared, and Ammo Squared helps you stay stocked up on ammunition, like automatically. It's a truly automated system. You set it and you forget it. It's an ammo purchasing program, and you can pick whatever caliber you want. You can set your budget. You can select your shipping, and that's it. And the cool thing is that it builds up, your ammunition builds up over time, and it's stored in this climate-controlled warehouse, and it sends it automatically when you want it, when you have it selected to send. And ammunition is a hard asset. I mean, it's something that's tangible. I think we all remember the uncertainty, like back in, 2019, 2020, when there were certain calibers that were kind of hard to find. And we ended up calling, we were calling some of our retail friends and saying, when do you get a shipment of this? Can we get some? Can we lay claim to some when it comes in? And in times of uncertainty and inflation, the value of all this stuff only goes up. So Ammo Squared is there to help smooth out the rough spots of ammunition availability. It's like an ammo 401k or something like that. You set it up, you have ammo for that rainy day when store shelves are empty and ammo's hard to find. So you can learn more and you can sign up today at AmmoSquared.com and ensure that you're prepared for whatever may come your way. That's AmmoSquared.com.
Is Trump going to raise taxes? Donald Trump promises to raise tariffs on Chinese imports. That may cost China more, but tariffs are just taxes on business which are tacked onto the products that you pay for.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
On unanimously that they were proved beyond a reasonable doubt. Here, what we're doing is taking the element that actually makes this a felony, because remember, falsification of records is normally a misdemeanor in New York. What makes it a felony is that you're concealing or committing another crime. And here, the judge is telling them they don't have to agree about what the other crime is under circumstances where that not only is what makes this a felony, what makes it a 4-year potential prison penalty rather than a year or less, but it's also what gets us into the courtroom, because if this had been a misdemeanor, the time to bring this case would have lapsed in 2019. So the only reason they're still able to bring this case is because it's a felony, allegedly, and yet now the judge is saying, you know, you don't have to agree on what the felony is.
So this is exactly what I've been saying. That's our friend Andy McCarthy just a little earlier. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, bottom of this first hour. This is exactly what I was saying. So it's not that they, because some of the stuff on social media was that, oh, the jury doesn't even have to agree that Trump committed a crime here. That's not what they're being told. What they're being told is that, again, and let me break it down as he so beautifully did, you have the bookkeeping accusation, the statute of limitations ran out in 2019. Had it been into effect still today, it would be considered just a misdemeanor, like a nothing burger. But in order to elevate it to a felony, they had to say that it was done in commission of another crime, and then that elevates it all to a felony. What they're telling the jury is that they don't have to be unanimous on what the other crime was. The whole reason, as Andy said, you're in that damn courtroom in the first place is because they were told that there was another crime that was committed. This crime was done in commission of it, like to hide it. And so that elevates it to a felony. Otherwise, you're not getting a grand jury. You're not getting a jury trial. That, to me, is super sketch. That is super sketch. I mean, I told Kane, I'm like, at least in third world countries, they exert the effort of making up the crime. You know, like they're going to sit here and be like, well, I saw him beating a baby seal to death on the shore. I watched it happen. I mean, they'll make up something in a third world country. You know, they'll fabricate evidence. They're not even going that far. That's lazy. You know, like I just feel like with AI and everything else, like you could at least make the effort. You know what I mean? To like, you know. Hell, they couldn't even plant evidence properly at Mar-a-Lago. So I'm just saying this, that is super sketchy to me. So it's not that the jury is being told that they don't have to be unanimous on the fact that he committed a crime, like on this decision. What it has to do with is whether or not that they're unanimous on what the crime that this was done in commission with, what that was. And again, I think that the whole reason that you're in the courtroom is the accusation of a second crime that had been committed to elevate this to a felony. Don't you think that that informs the jury and that they should know what it is and maybe be in agreement? Don't you think so? I think so. Now, I know that that's not the rule in New York because New York is stupid. But that's just super weird. That's just super sketchy to me. I mean, I don't see how this doesn't go to appeal. I really don't. I mean, how does it not go to appeal? $1 million question. The whole thing is weird. It's just all just weird. That's not proper. That's not like proper legal reasoning. Now we got a couple of other things to touch on too. That I want to get into because we had, in addition to this, and we're going to continue following this because, as you know, the jury's deliberating. I mean, they may have a decision today. They may not. And if they do, we will let you know. We'll break that down. And if they don't, then they don't. But the other thing that happened last night, and this is significant, it was in Texas with some of these runoffs. And I'm not going to dive super duper deep because I know we got a lot of people across the country that listen. But I do think it's important for you to know at least what's happening with Texas. And normally I'm not going to sit here and regale you with the drama of different state house politics. But because Texas is the crucial state, if Republicans ever want to win the White House again, I think they need to understand it. Because you know how you have blueprints for different areas. So going even further back into time than Florida, Colorado was the original Democrat blueprint. I know that they tried to say California is the Democrat blueprint, but it really was Colorado. Colorado had 60 some odd years of Republican administration. And in two election cycles, they flipped that state entirely blue. I was up there on the ground a couple of times. I have some friends out there that work in grassroots politics. We went up there when, like, for instance, Magpul was leaving the state, went up there with Magpul. And Glendale, Colorado, I think is what it was, which was right outside of Denver. Great town. They have a little rugby. They have a rugby stadium there. The rugby's big there. And was out there with a great group of folks. and they were really trying to fight back. They ended up getting rid of their Senate pro tem. They got rid of a couple of state lawmakers. That's when they were going to ban all guns, including even shotguns. It was crazy. So fast forward, and they're still fighting. They're still fighting. I mean, once you lose that kind of influence in your state, it's very, very hard to get it back. So after 60 some odd years of Republican administration, you know, enjoying, you know, a budget surplus, all of this stuff, it just all went to hell, and it flipped into election cycles because people thought it couldn't happen in Colorado. And shockingly, it can. So in Texas, the same people that, and they literally, the people who were behind it published a book called The Blueprint. And they talked about how they did it in Colorado. It's a book you can physically actually buy on Amazon. So fast forward, they thought they were going to do that in Texas. And they're still trying, although Texas paid attention to what was happening and began fighting back. And this is one of the reasons the county that I live in is so contested. It is the largest, the last urban red county in America. There is no county as big and as red as the county I live in Texas, in the entire country. Everything else flipped blue. This is the last county. And that's why there's such a, that's why they spend millions of dollars on our school board races. That's why every election you got ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, MSNBC, Fox, everybody comes here every election. They all set up outside the city hall. It's a big, because the thought is, since this also is one of the most conservative districts, if you can flip this county, you can flip this district, you can flip the state. And they're not wrong. So they've been moving a lot of blue voters in here, and it's been a fight. And it's why you got to be ever vigilant, because they don't, this is asymmetrical political warfare. They don't fight the way that you think that people are supposed to fight. And you've got to be very, very creative in the way that you push back. And it's very much the same thing. So in Texas, there's been some brawls. Dade Phelan survived. Dade Phelan is the infamous Republican Speaker of the State House here. He's the reason why it took so long for us to get permitless carry. He is the reason that it took so long to get a number of things, school choice, etc. But all of his allies were cleared out. So there is a bright spot. He was running against Dave Covey. Covey was a good candidate, but he lacked the name recognition. He wasn't a bad candidate at all. He was stronger on gun rights. He lacked their name recognition. And that's a big deal when you are in Texas. Being that name recognition translates. But Phelan lost a lot of his allies. And so it was a very much, it was a victory. It was kind of a pyrrhic victory. But he's, in some of these other races, there were a lot of others that were defeated. I think that there were, six or seven other folks that were defeated, a lot of his allies. Now, one of the other problems is that Texas has open primaries, so Democrats could come in and vote in these runoffs as Republicans. And I think that also factored into it. Now, the Texas Republican Party this past weekend voted to close these primaries. I think all primaries should be closed. So they finally voted to close the primaries, which is something that they needed to do. 73% of Republican voters approved a ballot proposition in support of closed primaries. One of the things that you need to do in your state, folks, is make sure that your primaries are closed. You need to make sure that Republicans vote Republican, Democrats vote Democrat, and Democrats can't wander on over and vote Republican. That's something, that's your responsibility. You got to make sure that happens in your state. I can't do that for you. Don't outsource your activism. That's your job. So, thankfully, they voted for this. So this is coming. We also got some lawmakers in. Now we got the votes. Even though it was a Republican supermajority, not every Republican is the same, as you know. Now we have enough votes Republican-wise to actually have school choice. That's coming. But Phelan had a very narrow victory. It was 50.7% to Covey's 49.3%. All precincts were reporting in. That was a very, very close race. He does not have a mandate. And he also, if you remember, Phelan is the guy who led the impeachment of Ken Paxton, the AG here in Texas. And Ken Paxton he was really targeted because he was very, very litigious on the border. He's sort of like Texas's Andrew Bailey. How you see Missouri's AG? Paxton's very much like that. He wakes up and is like, who am I going to sue? Whose butt gets my boot in it today? And so they were mad at him, and they absolutely. And Phelan likes to make the Phelan, if you remember, and I told you about this at the time, this was after Uvalde. Dade Phelan actually created a gun control committee in which he gave Democrats the same number of seats as Republicans. So the first problem was that he created a gun control committee. The second problem was that the Speaker of the Texas House actually empowered Democrats, gave them the same number of seats as Republicans, even though they are the minority in the state legislature. Asinine. But he really won that seat because there were nine voters in the race that had a, or 9% of voters, rather. So in the March primary, when they broke it down, Texas Scorecard had a rundown of this. The Texas, in that primary in March, 9% of the voters had a very long Democrat voting history. That's just enough voters to swing him the victory in this runoff. Now, he already has a challenger for Speaker, so we'll see how that goes. But any Texas Republican that votes Dade Phelan for Speaker should be rhetorically tarred and feathered, since it would be assault and battery to physically do so. Keep in mind, the law is the only thing that prevents me from endorsing that latter option. Now, so that was significant. Brandon Herrera lost to Tony Gonzalez. Tony Gonzalez is a gun control Republican. After Uvalde, he folded like a wet shirt, like Marco Rubio did on the stage in front of me in Parkland. Tony Gonzalez also crumbled after Uvalde and began going out there back in red flag law, all this other stuff. He got a challenge from Brandon Herrera. Herrera did not succeed. Gonzalez retained his seat. So those were the two bad spots of the night. But all of Phelan's allies are gone. All his big allies are gone. So there's some positive movement there. So that is some good news. Now, again, the reason I'm telling you about Texas is because if it can happen here, it is most certainly already underway in your state. It is not the job of a activist group based in D.C. to do your activism for you. It is not the job of, like, the TPUSAs or anybody else, any other organization, to do your civic duty for you. You have a privilege that should not be viewed of as a burden. You would rather have too much liberty to attend to, as Jefferson once said, than too little of it. It is your responsibility to go out there and do this. It's not a talk show host responsibility. It's not a pundit on radio or a podcast or anyone else. It's your job. Now, you can definitely reach out and use people to help amplify what's going on so there's awareness and pressure that you can bring down to bear. But it comes back to you and your neighbors and your community, and you got to be involved. It's the unsexiest part of politics, doing stuff in your backyard, but it's the stuff that has the most impact. And it counts. We have a lot more on the way, including I got some culture for you. And this weirdest story of the day. I'm going to tell you about a guy who spent $14,000 to become a dog, only after to realize, wow, it's really hard to walk around like a dog. I'm not even making this up. This is a real story with photos, and I will share. How is it possible that America could run short of amoxicillin? Amoxicillin is like the Swiss Army knife of antibiotics because it treats so many different types of infections. Doctors prescribe it for ear, nose, throat infections. It treats lower respiratory infections, sinusitis, which I've had before, skin infections, UTIs. So again, how could America run short on it? Antibiotics come from China and India. And if you or a family member get sick and there's no amoxicillin, now what? So that's why I have a medical emergency kit from the Wellness Company. I've used it for strep before. It comes with amoxicillin, and it's in your kit now when you need it. So this is not a first aid kit. It's like an urgent care in your house with essential prescriptions. And it comes with those essential prescriptions to treat over 39 medical issues. It's doctor prescribed antibiotics for infections of all types, like strep throat, pneumonia, UTIs, bronchitis, so much more. Plus, you have a doctor's guide so you know exactly when and how to use each prescription. You've got your medications, no waiting to see the doctor, no lines at the pharmacy. Every home should have at least one medical emergency kit. So order yours online in minutes and they'll rush it to your door. Get 15% off at twc.health/Dana and use promo code Dana. That's promo code Dana at twc.health/Dana.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
So I wanted to respond to this one specifically, and I responded to it in the last video I posted as well, but I just really want to point out that I'm not at all saying that black people are inherently fat, nor that being fat is bad. What I'm saying that is, from a historical context, being fat was viewed as being unable to control yourself, being attributed to savagery, which is what was attributed to blackness. Therefore, in an effort to continue to separate themselves from fatness, and this being white people in, you know, slavery times, one of the things they did was say that fatness was like being a black person. And this is like in the most layman's terms possible.
Ignorant.
And that is why diet culture within itself is racist. Because at the whole point is rooted in this idea that being skinny is closer to being white and therefore better. That means that the whole point of it is to be away from blackness and to make blackness seem like
it's not talk anymore, because it's making everybody dumber having to listen to her stupid. I hate this like TikTok history. I mean, chick, you dumb. That's so dumb.
Last I saw, every race is susceptible to being overweight. What does this have to do with racism?
It was, which one was it? It was one of the wives of Henry VIII. When he was, it was Anne of Cleves. One of the comments that Henry VIII had made about Anne of Cleves was that she was basically chonky. And she didn't look as athletic because he liked doing a lot of stuff outdoors.
Is that where the term cleavage came from?
No, I don't think so.
No?
I don't think so.
All right, I'm going to look into that.
You can look into it. But he thought she was unattractive. He thought that she was physically repulsive, kind of chonky. Yeah, like this was stuff that he told his aides. That had nothing to do with like being black. That was her just being a fat ass, right? I mean, you being a fat ass and lazy and not wanting to eat has nothing to do with being black. I mean, yes, black and white people, guess what? Everybody can get fat.
Yeah.
You know, you not wanting to control yourself. I mean, you can get fat. It happens, right? So it amazes me. People want to turn everything into some sort of personal affront so that they can play victim, because there's power in being a victim. That's so dumb.
It is dumb. And also, the idea of a diet doesn't necessarily mean you have to lose weight. It could be just looking at the types of foods you decide you want to
eat. I intermittent fast. So
yeah.
I don't eat after 8 o'clock and I do not eat before 10 a.m. religiously. I am religious about it. I actually probably could expand it more. But I gotten really good at that. And Kane knows, because I eat on an old folks schedule. And as you know, Kane doesn't think that old people are innocent. So I have a very non-innocent eating schedule.
You're trying to start stuff.
So I'm just telling people the hashtag facts. That's all. All right. So we got a couple of things coming up. I promised you that I'm going to tell you a story that you're going to share with your family over dinner tonight. And y'all are going to laugh hysterically. Don't choke. A guy spent thousands of dollars to become a dog. And then he's like, I don't really like walking around like a dog so much. It's hard. We're going to talk about that and everything else. Stick with us. An actual educational institution. Hillsdale was founded in 1844 to offer the kind of education that's really needed today. Like the education on what the purpose of the Electoral College is, which is what the left doesn't seem to understand. So there's been this movement underway to affect how we elect the president. And Hillsdale's been taking the survey on it. It's a survey on presidential selection. You can access it at Dana4FORHillsdale.com. And I highly suggest you do it, because Hillsdale's really seeking out your thoughts on this. You don't have to, you're not paying for anything. They're not taking your information. They just really want to know what you think. And it's a survey on presidential selection, because the movement that's been out to change this, as you know, it's led by the radical left. They want to do away with the Electoral College. 18 states have signed on to overhaul the Electoral College to do away with it. It's crazy. So help Hillsdale in its future work defending liberty, and take the survey to help Hillsdale understand your views that are critical on this very important issue. You can do it at Dana4FORHillsdale.com. Start your national survey on presidential selection right now. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com.
No, they built that in where they're going to turn off those mics so that somebody can't ramble or scream at somebody. Not that my husband would be the one doing that.
No.
Mm-hmm. And so that's already been negotiated. Right. And, you know, I think the American people deserve a debate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm trying real hard here, guys.
Has she never seen
Has
she never seen one of his State of the Unions?
I don't know. She's got to hustle him off stage like the Sandman at the Apollo. You know, she got to come out there with her shepherd's hook and little Bo Peep him out, right? Damn. Can you imagine? I mean, oh my God. They start playing that music. I used to watch, you might not believe me, but when I was little and my parents would not give me cable in my room, I was so put upon. My mom, I had a little old black and white television. My mom let me have my room, and I used to stay up and watch Arsenio Hall. And then during the summer, I'd stay up real late, and I'd watch Apollo, Showtime at the Apollo. Yeah. And I got to know that Sandman act real well. When I heard that music, I was like, oh, here we go. I was waiting for somebody to get in a fight with the Sandman. All right, so welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you. Top of the second hour. That's Dr. Jill. Sure. Jill Biden, again, I'm not calling you doctor unless you can, you know, demonstrate a talent at rearranging guts. I'm sorry, but I know people of my own actual acquaintance, like I know people in real space who get these doctorate degrees. And I'm like, I am not calling you doctor. Shut up. Just because you paid money. I studied, like, give me a stupid field to study, Kane. Women's literature.
Yes, I was about to say gender studies.
Okay. I got a doctorate in women's literature. So what you're telling me, or gender studies, is that you paid an exorbitant amount of money to call yourself that, studying something stupid. Okay. Yeah. I mean, no offense. If that's your jam, I would much rather spend my money on, like, ammunition or one day own a Dodge Demon, but I digress, which I'm not allowed because someone in my marriage says that I'll wrap it around a tree. And it is not me. So
someone in your marriage?
Yes. Okay. It rhymes with schmusband. Feel free to add him on Twitter. Go ahead. Or X. Go ahead. Let him know. I think he needs to be told. He hasn't been told enough. Sidebar, I really did want that. You know who bought the last one that I had my eye on? Richard Rawlings.
Really?
For real. My husband was at the dealership. Richard Rawlings, Richard's a great guy. Came on down, bought that damn thing right. I was so mad. It was the last one. And then Chris was like, it's not meant to be. You'd wrap it around a tree anyway. And I'm like, cried. Anyway, all right. So what was I talking about? Oh, my gosh. Yeah, Jill. Jill Biden on The View. We had to run that video and audio that we just played for you all through a couple of filters. Because before we did it all, it was just hens clucking. You couldn't hear nothing. So we had to run it through a couple of filters in order to get that. But so she's out there. She's saying, oh, yeah, you're not going to. What did she say? He's not going to ramble. Has she heard her husband speak? I feel like she's not in that marriage. I mean, if you cannot be honest about that, I feel like you're not in your own marriage. Like, we see it. Y'all see it. And she's like, and he doesn't yell. Again, are you in your marriage? How do you not know? Your old man is out there yelling. Like, every speech the man gives, he does this weird thing where out of nowhere, he just starts screaming the words. Like, that's the emphasis. Does he think that that's the verbal version of, like, bold, underscore, italics? I don't know. But you've heard him do it. So she's talking about the debate, and then she's, you know, he's in. I don't remember the other stuff that she said because it's just, she's ridiculous, a ridiculous person. What did she even go on The View for? I guess to campaign for him?
Yeah.
Is that all they talked about?
Pretty much.
I mean, it was mostly how bad Trump was, though. It wasn't about how good Biden was. It was mostly about how horrible Trump
They is. Measure how good they think Biden is by how much they hate Trump. It's actually a wild thing.
It's a leftist voter thing, too.
Yeah. It's like super, it's crazy. That's how. All right, I want to switch it up. I got to share this story with you. Now, Lorraine tells me that I need to be honest about what this story is. This is not a dude who wants to be an anthropomorphic, like he doesn't want to be anthropomorphic dog. He wants to be like an physical dog. So, without further ado, this is why aliens lock their doors when they fly past Earth. Told you this. This guy spent $14,000 to become a dog, a collie specifically. He changed his mind upon realizing that it's very difficult to walk like a dog. And previously, he had been made fun of, justifiably, by trolls. He spent $12,000 on a costume. His name is Toko. He spent 2 million yen, $12,000, on a dog costume. And it was advertised as being lifelike. If I would have seen something like this, I'm going to be real with you. If this thing would have come up to me at a park, here's the video that I just dropped of you of him. And if this video, like it fetches, He spent $12,000. The damn thing can't move its head. He can't move his head like a dog. So like when he turns around, he's got to do one of these. He's got to literally from his back end turn. He can't turn and look something with his neck because he's not a dog, right? So he got this costume. And he has 30,000 morons subscribed to this guy's YouTube account. He got his little special suit and he dressed up as a dog. And he does tricks. If I would have seen this thing come up to me at a park, I would have kicked it. But here's the problem. He can't walk outside like a dog. He had to be put on a luggage cart and carted around because he's a person in a dog costume.
Is it the costume that cost $14,000? Is that what it was?
There's an extra $14,000. The costume itself was $12,000. So there's a couple thousand for something. I don't know what.
Like what?
I'm afraid to ask.
Is he neutered?
He said he's being bullied online. Really?
Didn't see that.
We're also shocked. If I would have seen this, does that look like a dog to you guys watching the simulcast video of the dog? It literally looks like a fake dog. He spent 12. That's not movie quality.
No.
He can't see anything. He's a freak.
That's not Lassie.
It is the dumbest thing. He's got like dog gloves. He doesn't move like a dog. He moves like a demon in a dog suit. It's like a dog, a bad, crappy dog costume possessed. He can't grab it. He's just horrible. I would have put it down already. I've been like this poor dog. So he said, quote, I'm sad that people think that because everyone goes, you need a therapy. You need therapy, not a dog costume, you weird sex freak. And he goes, I'm sad that people think that. I love animals and enjoy play acting like a collie. This is my hobby. No, you're a freak. And so no one knows what he looks like. It is so weird. It's just weird. The videos of it online are so freaky. I can't deal with it. It's just weird. So anyway, long story short, $14,000. Now he decides, you know what? It's really hard to walk around like a dog. Kane?
Yeah?
You think that you would have maybe figured that out before you spent $12,000?
Yes.
I don't know what else he spent the other $2,000 on.
But, I mean, this just goes to prove that even mental illness has its limits. He's clearly mentally ill, and his body decided to just let him know that his mental illness has limits.
Did you see the video of him trying to jump over the little doggy hurdle? Doesn't happen.
Very athletic.
I mean, I would have put this dog down. Something's wrong with it. I've been like, it's in trouble.
It's misery.
Yeah, its dog's miserable. It's horrible. Something's wrong with it. It doesn't look like a dog. It doesn't even look like a stuffed dog. So now he's like, well, you know, maybe I'm going to dress up like another. Maybe I'll just be like another animal since I can't walk like a dog. So now he's thinking, I don't know, panda maybe? Or, geez, really? Or a bear?
An animal that can walk on two
legs? He goes, I would like to be a fox, but that's too small. Well, at least he's got some realistic perception on proportion. A panda or a bear. He's going to walk around like a bear. For you know what I mean? Like the animal.
I've seen bears on two legs.
Yeah, not that kind of bear, though. I had to really watch what I was saying. I
appreciate that.
I have a funny story about that no one will. I cannot tell because it'll go viral. And it'll end up becoming the most shared thing I've ever done. And I'm not going to do it. Kane, have you heard this story?
You've told me. I think I know what story.
You know what story
about.
It is?
Yeah, and I agree. It's,
yeah, you agree, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
I do not do it here.
My young, naive, sweet little heart. Yes. I had no idea what I'd gotten into. I had no idea what I had stumbled across. That's all I'm going to say. It would literally become the most shared thing I've ever done, ever, and I'm not ever going to do it. Anyway.
Don't say never.
No, I am never going to do this. I think it highlights my purity and my innocence and naivete.
You can't have that?
Well, I mean,
you can't have anything.
I wasn't raised to know what certain things were. My mom didn't go, now these are the men who like to get butch with other dudes. So they dress like butch. So they attract the butch. I wasn't raised that way. You know what I'm saying?
You've already said too much.
You guys will just have to wonder. It's never going to happen. All right. So, oh gosh, where do we go from here? All right. I was going to talk about the Bidens. So yesterday we were talking about the emails about the Bidens using Sandy Hook. So Hunter's going to have a little bit of problems coming up. I don't know if you have realized this. First off, there's more text messages that are out regarding Joe and Hunter. And then Lorraine has the story that's up on Substack, Chapter and Verse right now, about Joe Biden making this little visit. You know, I'm sure it just had nothing at all to do whatsoever with any kind of trial coming up and testimonies and anything like that. But he visited, made a little visit to his, is it former daughter-in-law? It's Hallie. So it's Beau's widow and Hunter's ex-girlfriend, Hallie Biden. So he went, she's going to be testifying in Hunter's federal gun case in the coming days. So he apparently made a little stop. It was a surprise nighttime visit days before she's testifying in this gun trial, because that trial starts like in a week. Is that witness tampering? Now, it was 8 p.m. Now, you know that's late for Biden. 8 o'clock Sunday night. You know that's late for him. 8 o'clock Sunday night. Listen to this. Ducey asks this of KJP. Audio soundbite one. I think this is a great question. Check it.
On another topic, why did President Biden have a private meeting with a witness who plans to testify in court against his son?
Can you say more?
Hallie Biden is a key government witness who allegedly disposed of a gun that Hunter is accused of buying illegally. President Biden was at her house this week.
I think the American people should also be told the full breadth of this, not just a part of this question here. As you all know, the president actually spoke to this yesterday during his memorial, I think impactful, powerful Memorial Day address, where he talked about the passing, the anniversary, the 9th anniversary of the passing of his son. And he visited her as that anniversary is approaching. He visited her days before the anniversary of the passing of his son. And she is family. She was married, obviously, to his late son. And I think that
and
is something
also
son. To mention as you're asking your question to me.
So they did not talk about her testimony?
This was not about that. This was
sure.
about...
Just real convenient.
Literally... the 9th anniversary of
super
the
convenient
of his son.
I mean, he used Sandy Hook as the way to go and net $10 million for himself from a communist Chinese business CEFC guy. So why wouldn't he use this? I mean, he used the bodies of dead kids as a way to shield his $10 million CCP deal. Why wouldn't he use this anniversary, his dead son? Why wouldn't he? I mean, that's a legit question. We got more on the way. We got headlines coming up. American made Kel-Tec, based in Florida. It's a great American story. It's about a guy who immigrated legally the right way from Sweden, George Kellgren. He's like the Swedish chef of guns. And he came over, work, work, work. He came over and started creating all these really cool guns, rifles, shotguns, pistols, you know, all sorts of accessories, gear. Super innovative. You've seen some of them in movies, like the Sub-2K Gen 3 right now. It's you can fold it right in half. It's like a transformer gun. It just doesn't turn into a sentient robot. But it's light, foldable, effective. 9mm carbine, and you don't have to detach your optics to fold it in half anymore either. Super awesome. Ambidextrous bolt hold open. There's a lot of upgrades. Redesigned operating handle. You got lightened action, all kinds of stuff. Quality made right here in America, specifically in Florida. America needs more companies like Kel-Tec. See it for yourself. It's the Sub-2K, the Gen 3 version. I got the Gen 2. I don't have the Gen 3 version yet. You can see it for yourself at KeltecWeapons.com, KeltecWeapons.com, and make sure to tell them Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So apparently there's this thing called the longevity escape velocity theory, and it's how scientists are saying that you could live forever by 2030s. Do you really want to live forever, though? Because I find too many people annoying as hell, where heaven is the only escape that I am promised, right? Like, at some point, I'm like, enough, right? I don't want to sound like morbid. But
we pray for the smod,
right?
The sweet
it's like Jeebus. I don't want to, and that's Jeebus, by the way. I don't want to be forever with all. I mean, you know, you're all nice in that, but golly, give me Jesus. I just don't. I can't. Right? Oh my word! I just can't imagine. I don't even want to entertain you with this possibility. We're going to the next headline. Okay, so they said, I am trying to wrap my head around this, guys. The average person. wastes over 2 hours a day dream scrolling. Now you're like, what? So you've heard of doom scrolling, which I totally still. So dream scrolling is looking at dream purchases or things that you'd like to one day own. It's an exercise in covetousness. Who does this? Who has time to do that? B, I feel like the only time, like I, for instance, I had to get, and it's, I wore my hair purpose like this today, but I have to get a new flat iron, right? Because mine, it died. It's just dead. 8 years is a long time. It died. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to look at it. I don't want to have to look at them. I don't want to look at it, right? I don't want to deal with it. I'm just like putting it off. I don't want to have to deal with it. I can't believe they said that 71% of American people, it was over 2,000 U.S. adults, they said that over a full year, people spend on average 36 days scrolling and looking at this stuff. That does not sound right, does it?
No.
I can't imagine. And tattoos, they said, could trigger a rare form of cancer. But it's not the vax, guys. It's the tattoos triggering the cancer, not the vax. Psh, whatever. Stick with us. More in store. Gold Co., they want to make it to where if everything goes sideways, you know, where the government's still spending all our monies and inflation's going through the roof, you can still have gold and silver as a hedge against inflation. You can get their free 2024 wealth protection kit and learn how to possibly get $10,000 in bonus silver as a listener of this program. Now, the free wealth protection kit is going to give you all the stuff you need to know, how to protect yourself in the face of inflation, war. I just think it's fun to have actual physical gold and silver, things that are valuable and not, you know, imaginary. And Gold Co. has helped people like you and me place over $2.5 billion in gold and silver. And that's one of their most unique qualities, their education first position. So they want to make it easy for you to get the benefit of owning physical gold and silver. It's a very important part of your overall retirement savings strategy. No pressure approach, dedicated transparency. Get started today at DanaLikesGold.com. Get your free gold kit from Gold Co. Learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver and get your complimentary wealth protection kit. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So how does this not violate the red line that the president laid out?
As I said, we don't want to see a major ground operation. We haven't seen that at this point.
How many more charred corpses does he have to see before the president considers a change in policy?
We don't want to see a single more innocent life taken, and I kind of take a little offense at the question.
Well, we'd like to see 5 more charred corpses. I mean, specifically 5. Yeah, once we get there, it's like how if you like this on Facebook, you got to get to X many likes before this doctor is going to save this child's life. Something like that. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of the second hour. What a dumb question. This has to do with the whole thing in Rafah, because, by the way, the fact that you have Hamas militants hiding out amongst, you know, everybody in Rafah. I mean, it's the same thing. But and, you know, they discovered tons of tunnels, right, going into Egypt from Rafah. So who knows what has all been funneled, smuggled back and forth. They found extensive tunnels underneath, going from Rafah underneath, underground to Egypt. And so this is part of the reason. That's one of the things you're not being told in all of this stuff. They got to go in. They have to go in. I mean, you knew this was coming to that point. In response to that, you had a bunch of pro-Hamas stooges set fire to the Israeli embassy in Mexico. As a result of this, we got some of the footage. This is Audio Soundbite 14. This is some of that footage where they were burning down the Israeli embassy, setting fire, attacking it in Mexico because of the Rafah situation. Again, Hamas, though, has tunnels going from underneath Rafah all the way into Egypt. So if they didn't, you know, if they didn't want that to happen, they shouldn't have dug tunnels. That's one of the reasons why they got to go underneath there. It's just crazy that this even has to be explained. But they were just attacking the embassy there. How many more charred corpses? Well, yours particularly. Wait, did I say that out loud? What? I mean, why are we still doing this? Second guessing this? Why is this still being second guessed? That's what's dumb. You know, this is it's, you know, the sad thing about it is it's nobody's asking any kind of questions at all whatsoever about the hostages that are still there. It's a sad thing. All right, so a few other things to touch on. Hunter Biden's baby mama, she's got a memoir coming out, guys. London Roberts. She's releasing a tell-all in August, the same month as the Democrat convention. She's the mother of Hunter's five-year-old daughter, Navy Joan, who the family absolutely refuses to acknowledge, to the point where they don't even put up a stocking for her on the family fireplace for Christmas. So then they stopped putting up stockings because she was asked, Jill and Joe were asked every year about it. So it's going to be Out of the Shadows, My Life Inside the Wild World of Hunter Biden. It's coming out on August 20th. And she's... And this is the first time I think people are seeing the daughter. The daughter's on the cover of the book. And I got to tell you, that kid looks like Hunter Biden's kid. Have you seen it, Kane?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, the kid looks like Hunter Biden's kid. I don't know how you can look at that little girl and be like, that's because I don't think she showed her face before, but everybody's been talking about this kid. She's a beautiful little girl. She's super pretty. But that's kind of sad that you wouldn't want to acknowledge that little girl. You're Joe and Jill, and you can't acknowledge one of your grandkids because you disapprove of the manner in which she was conceived. I mean, your son was on drugs. You're not going to, I can't imagine not acknowledging if I was a grandparent, I can't imagine not acknowledging a grandkid. I can't imagine that. How evil are you? And how self-involved are you? I think Joe Biden was so self-absorbed that he was more into himself as a politician than he was being a dad, which is why all his children are messed up. And I think that his whole family revolved around his ego and making their family millions and being shady. That was it. But the book will be out, and she was working at a strip club in D.C. when they first met. She's from Kentucky. And apparently there's like tons of stories in this. And he, like, I guess when he was with her, that's when he was also dating his sister-in-law. And he just sort of brushed her off when he wrote about her in the book. He mentioned her, like, briefly, like, oh, he had women that he'd been with during his rampages, and they were hardly the dating type. But the thing is that London Roberts worked for his family for a while. Like, he had said that he challenged in court Arkansas, a woman in Arkansas, blah, blah, blah. He goes, I had no recollection of our encounter. That's how little connection I had, except that's a lie. There are emails of him instructing this. He employed her at Seneca. After they got together, he employed her. And you guys remember this. And he had her on their insurance. He dropped her while she was pregnant from their family insurance, from this Seneca Rosemont insurance. And there are emails that came out a couple of years ago that where he was instructing the staff to drop her. So that's an absolute lie. Hunter Biden's just a piece of... He still is. He's a horrible father. My family would call him a... That's what they would call him. An absolute... I don't know. He might be 50-something years old, but if I was Joe or Jill, I would whoop his ass with a wooden spoon and a flip-flop up and down Pennsylvania Avenue. But you remember those emails, right, Kane?
Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna pull this up because I got this in my bookmark system. Because she worked at Rosemont Seneca. Yeah. I mean, and she had testified already. And in the tax evasion trial in California, she had already testified to this. And he was going to cut ties with her. So all of that. So the emails in that came out ahead of her testimony in the tax trial in California. So him saying that he had no recollection, not only did he have recollection, he hired her to work at Rosemont Seneca. And then when she got inconveniently pregnant and wouldn't get an abortion, then he dropped her. Dropped her from the insurance. He cut off her insurance. She's pregnant with his child and he cuts off her insurance. Fires her. He is scum. All the wrong people overdose. So, I said it. Somebody should, right? It's just ridiculous. And the family's like, oh, well, at one point, they had to, Joe and Jill had to publicly acknowledge her. And this was not even a year ago. It was in July of last year that they were forced to finally publicly acknowledge her. And all they said was that this isn't a political issue, etc. And we only want what's best for our grandchildren, including Navy. But as Kane reminds, even Biden's dogs and cats got stockings at Christmas. Not little Navy Joan never did. Ever. They've never even seen her. They've never met her. Hunter begrudgingly met her. And he wasn't going to remember. He had to be drugged to court for child support. He had refused to pay child support even after she took numerous paternity tests. You take one look at this kid. That kid looks like Hunter. She has her mom's prettiness, but she's got her dad's eyes. That child has Hunter Biden's eyes in that, for sure. You can see it. I mean, he not only did he not want to pay, and Juan's showing you the on the simulcast, the book cover. You can look at that. That little girl looks like Hunter. But then he wouldn't pay child support. He's a deadbeat. Can you imagine if I was Joe Biden, because Hunter now is trying to play responsible dad, happy families with his new Instafluence wife, his Instafluencer wife and their little kid. I wouldn't allow them to be at any of the White House events. I would not allow them. Because it's so embarrassing. They have no self-awareness. They're white trash. That family, actually, white trash is better than that family. Shameful. So they're coming out with this. And it's interesting because guess who's, it's a president of a super PAC that backs RFK that's publishing it, which is funny. So they're paying for that to be published. Skyhorse Publishing, they've already released excerpts from it. The president, Tony Lyons, is the co-founder of the Kennedy's American Values PAC. But, yep, that's it. That's the story. We'll see how this goes. But that'll be very interesting as that comes out, because you know she's going to have to go on a book tour. She's going to be on a book tour when this all unfolds at the DNC. That's when she's going to be on her book tour. Interesting, is it not? Very interesting. So we'll see how that goes. Now, coming up, we're going to get into some of the November stuff. Some polling, all of that, blah, blah, blah. And we're still watching. The jury's deliberating these charges in this New York case, which is weird. And we'll keep an eye on this and bring you any developments if it comes. And of course, then you've got the latest with they're going after Amy Coney Barrett's husband now, which is so stupid. Rolling Stone is. They're saying, oh, Amy Coney Barrett's husband is representing Fox in a lawsuit. And of course, these are the same people who are going after the Alitos. Now, there's more that's coming out about this case with the Alitos and the flag. Their neighbors are major BLM activists who have been harassing this elderly couple forever. And we're going to tell you that story that the media won't. So we still have a lot of stuff. And our friend Seth Weathers has given away Smokey and the Bandits, a vehicle, I'll say that. We'll tell you more from Smokey and the Bandits. So we'll get into all of that coming up. Florida Man's on the way. As we move, our partners, our friends over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service that is out there. For 10 years, they have been my cell phone service. And if you are looking to make the switch, they're going to help make it happen. And they also have, they've got great plans for everybody. They've got plans for every single type of family, size, business, everything. Dinks! You know what the dinks are? The dual income, no kids, the dinky dinks. They even got plans for you. And so when you switch, you make your money work for you. Free activation using code Dana, 100% U.S.-based customer service team. Keep your phone or your number. Upgrade, the choice is yours as well. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get free activation. So make that switch today. PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.com, promo code Dana Show.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
A Florida man bites a bar manager's finger over an incident about a dog leading to a brawl. St. Petersburg, but it absolutely happened. I mean, I like to joke and say that John Wick began, it's a dog film, it's like Old Yeller. Florida man was arrested over Memorial Day weekend after he bit a bar manager's finger. Kenneth Davis, 27, of Madeira Beach, was taken to jail Sunday afternoon after a group of friends he was with became unruly when they were told they could not bring a dog into Undertow Beach Bar. And then deputies said that's when Davis lunged forward and bit at the bar manager's finger. The manager defended himself, punched Davis in the face. A brawl between Davis's group and the bar staff broke out, and it was all caught on video. The fight was broken up when the police arrived. And the bar manager did not want to file battery charges. So Davis just got a disorderly intoxication charge, and he was taken to Pinellas County Jail. I will say, it sounded like a bar scuffle. The bar manager rolled with it.
Right.
You don't really get people who are that chill. That guy needs to be counting his blessings, because he probably could have gotten, like, worse. And also, that's not how you settle disputes. But it also sounded like the bar manager was maybe pointing his finger in his face.
Right.
And that's kind of how that happens. So, and the guy threw the first punch, so I'm just saying. But I don't mind if dogs are in a bar. I just don't like it when people don't, when they're bad owners. I dislike bad owners more than I dislike any dog, I have to say. Let's see here. Ooh, a Florida man discovers a mastodon tusk. It's huge. While fossil hunting off of the Florida coast. That's pretty significant. I got to be honest, I would have thought that it just looked like a big chunk of driftwood. Juan's going to show you the guys the picture in the simulcast. It's a 4-foot-long mastodon tusk. Alex Lundberg, 29, scubas, and he's an amateur fossil hunter. And he stays at his parents' house when he visits the beach, and he searches for prehistoric objects in the waters nearby. He goes, I'm a weekend warrior. He discovered this tusk. I mean, it's just, he goes, to me, it looks like a piece of driftwood.
Yeah.
He realized it was a tusk. And he said that it isn't uncommon to find broken pieces like that. He goes, but this is the first time he ever saw something this big. He goes, we call it mammoth bark because it looks just like tree bark. So he knew what he was looking for. I literally would have swam right over it. I'm not going to lie. And now I feel bad because I'm like, have I ever been around a fossil like that and not noticed? Because I don't know. It's kind of crazy. Cinnamon roll battery. What in the world? Oh, my gosh. All right. So this lady, Florida woman. St. Petersburg. Why is everything St. Petersburg lately? A Florida woman was arrested after she hurled a cinnamon roll at another person at a soup kitchen of all places in Florida last week. Anne Marie Luna was arrested and charged with misdemeanor battery. It was at the St. Vincent de Paul Cares.
Go what was boy. That last name again?
Anne Marie Luna.
Luna. Okay, just checking.
Why?
She sounds a little loony.
Oh, yeah. She threw a cinnamon roll at the back of a man's head near the base of his neck. And it was captured on security footage. He didn't suffer any injuries, but he said he wanted to press charges. Really?
Cinnamon roll.
I had a cinnamon roll. This is okay. See, this is why you can't have me be in a position of power like that elected. Because I'd be like, you know what? I'm going to make up a charge right now. You're a pansy. And you're going to get charged for that. Here's a $500 fine. You know what I mean? I no, you shouldn't be throwing food. You're a grown woman. That's dumb. But also, if you get hit with a cinnamon roll, unless it was like a couple days old and stale, you're not getting hurt.
Right.
It's a pastry. It hits you in the neck. You're a dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, what? It's not like you get the fine. She's not giving you $500. What in the world? Let's see. A Florida man recorded a turtle riding a 10-foot alligator around on a pond like a horse. Only in Florida. I love how high the little turtle's got its head stretched up. It's got his head stretched up so tall. A travel blogger in Florida captured a turtle riding on the back of a gator. And a gator apparently did not care that its food was riding it around like a horse. And it's cute. But don't try this because I don't know how the turtle gets away from this. Did anybody make sure the turtle actually got away safely? Because I'm feeling like maybe it wouldn't because they eat those things, you know. So, I mean, I'm just assuming that it did because they never said that it didn't eat it. Because how do you get away if you're a turtle on a gator like that?
Kane? Just hope.
Knowing the gator eats you.
Swim in the opposite direction of the mouth.
I mean, the gators swim fast. Golly. All right, that does it for Florida Man. Third hour on the way and coming up. We got the latest with this trial. Seth Weathers is going to join us. And he's giving away a car. We'll explain.
My colleague Harry Enten had a recent analysis on how Trump is gaining ground with black voters. His analysis that Trump has doubled his support among black voters from this point 4 years ago, in part because he's polling in a quarter of black voters under 50 in polling analysis. Why is that?
Well, listen, we know right now that we're operating in an incredibly fractured and fragmented media environment, and you still have a lot of young voters in particular who have not yet tuned in to the presidential election. And so that's why this campaign is relentlessly focused on reaching voters where they are right now, not waiting until September or October. Some campaigns have done in the past to reach out to black voters, young black voters in particular, but using every tool at our disposal right now to do so.
That's so lame. So they think it's the media. That's one of the Biden spokespeople with the campaign. Welcome back to the program, Dana Lesher, with you, top of this third hour. That's one of the, they've been, the media has been above and beyond so helpful to Biden. I mean, the media is what's kept his campaign alive. That's a fact. I mean, they've gone after, they've done all of the bidding of the left, of the Democrats. They've done all of it. And like, for instance, with this whole, the going after the Supreme Court, now they're training their sights on Justice Alito. They want him to recuse himself from Trump cases related to the 2020 election because his wife flew a flag. I'm not even making this up. It's so dumb because his wife flew a flag. And she first flew a flag upside down because she was fighting with the neighbors. Actually, the neighbors were fighting with them. That's the thing. The media was not being honest about this. So this, I don't know if you knew this, what started this off is their super left BLM activist neighbors that started harassing them some time ago. And even the New York Times kind of touched on it. There were a number of entities that touched on it. But apparently, the neighbors were harassing them quite extensively, and they called her a see you next Tuesday. That works, right? Yeah, that's what they called, because they did. They called her that. And so they have, the neighbors have been not nice. They've harassed them. They've gone after them. This is a New York Times piece that said the conflict was so, because the neighbors, by the way, she put the flag up on after the neighbors began harassing them. Isn't that nice? And it escalated. The neighbor said that in their 30s, that she was a see you next Tuesday. And they started harassing her. And then that's when she put the flag up upside down. And then they called the police on her because of it. I mean, they sound nuts. The neighbors sound crazy. The New York Times has been, and the Washington Post have just been like obsessive over this story. Except the problem is that they didn't really include how bad the neighbors are. They said the BLM neighbors, they had put up a "you are complicit" sign. That's kind of what kicked it off. They put up signs on their property saying "you are complicit," and they had BLM, they had already BLM stuff up on their property, but they were putting these signs up, and that they were saying, oh, well, it was about Republicans, not just at the Alito's, except the signs were facing the Alito's house. So that was kind of a problem. You know, sure, yeah, it's a little bit of a problem with that, right? And so they keep trying to, and the neighbor, by the way, worked with the New York Times and clearly is the instigator. They were trying to spin and make it look like his wife was the antagonist in all of this when they started all of this. So they're this mid-30s couple. They're not married. They're this mid-30s couple. They're living at the parents' house. They don't even own the property that they're living in next to the Alito's. They're staying at one of their parents' house. And they acknowledge that they first had the F Trump sign that was not censored. They had the F Trump sign. And then apparently it wasn't just Alito, but some of their other neighbors, including Alito's wife, said that that was offensive. And they were like, oh, you're Justice Alito's wife. They zeroed in on her. And then they put up another other signs that said you're complicit. They would deliberately drive repeatedly past her house, past the Alito's house, to watch what they were doing. And then when the Mrs. Alito flew the flag upside down, they called the police on them. That's the timeline of this. And when they were trying to, and they tried to craft this, they tried to craft this like ridiculous narrative as though they were the ones who were victimized when they were the instigators in this whole entire thing. And if you have, I'll make sure I put the New York Times piece in the email prep. If you're a Substack subscriber for Chapter and Verse, my newsletter, you get the email prep. I'm going to put this in here because I think in the very beginning, when the Washington Post wrote the first story about the upside down flag, they did not include that it was because of months of harassment, that happened months after months of harassment from those neighbors. The 30 something year old far left, you know, suburbanite, white commie BLM supporters who moved into the parents' house. They didn't even own the property. So, yeah. Anyway, they've been pressuring Alito to resign. And the media, I just gave you an example of how the media has been working overtime to protect not just Biden, but the whole entire left. So they were demanding that Alito, because of this, he should recuse himself from all Trump cases because of how his wife flew the flag, etc., you know, all of this stuff. And they ran that pine tree flag. Remember, that was the other thing that the Washington Post ran as like an additional layer of, you know, additional insult. So Alito says he's not recusing himself. This is new. He writes a letter to Congress that, you know, flag flying incidents do not meet the standards for recusal. And he addresses the two incidents. He said the first cited includes the concerns about flying a flag, upside down American flag outside the home in Virginia where my wife and I reside. And he goes, my wife and I own our Virginia home jointly. He goes, as I've stated publicly, I've had nothing to do whatsoever with the flying of that flag. I wasn't even aware with it until it was called to my attention. I asked my wife to take it down, but for several days she refused. And he goes, she has the legal right to use the property how she sees fit. And he goes, she was, I will note, greatly distressed at the time, due in large part to a very nasty neighborhood dispute in which I had no involvement. And he's talking about the neighbors, displayed a sign attacking her personally. And a man lived in the house who trailed her all the way up and down the street. He berated her in my presence using foul language. And that's when the man called her a see you next Tuesday. He would go over to their property and start like yelling at whenever he saw them outside and yell at them. And he called her a see you next Tuesday. I'm going to tell you, the fact that Justice Alito didn't knock this man on his ass, right, that's grounds for him to be on that court. That alone demonstrates restraint. Because I, as the woman, would have knocked the man on his ass. I got to tell you. So he's like, yeah, I'm not stepping down. Bite me. Good for him. And I love that he doesn't, everyone's like, oh, he threw his wife under the bus. No, he didn't. Left. All the left, that's going to be the new thing that they craft. All the left who loves to talk about empowered women. Let me introduce you to an empowered woman. Her name is Mrs. Alito. She don't take no shade, okay? She's not going to take no harassment. She is not going to deal with these yuppies moving in next door to her and calling her names, following her up and down the street, driving past her house, spying on her, harassing her, stalking her, putting up signs in their yard facing their property. She's not going to deal with all that stuff. She's going to fly the flag, and she knows how to do it, and she's going to do whatever she wants to do because she's an empowered woman. Justice Alito didn't throw her under the bus. She's an empowered woman. She's not under the bus. She took the damn bus and threw it in your face. So stop with this stupid narrative, okay? She can stand her own ground, right? It's like that video of not the Kelsey brother that's dating Taylor Swift. Who is the other Kelsey brother? Travis Kelsey, he's got a Jason Kelsey. He's got a wife named Kylie, right? And there was a video that came out that I saw yesterday. Her and her husband, we're having a date night on Memorial Day weekend. So, Steve, what's a crumb bum? Okay, because that was used in the context describing the people harassing the Kelseys. There's video of it. And they were having date night on Memorial Day weekend, and this like middle-aged woman wanted a picture with him. And they very politely declined, and the woman got nuts. She tried getting into his wife's face and all this stuff. Her husband had to step in front. And there was one thing that I noticed as I was watching the video. She was taller than the husband. His wife is like 6 foot tall. Right. And she can pretty much stand her ground. And he stood back in the parking lot as she handled business. And she was not belligerent like the other woman. She just told the other woman, I can smell the alcohol on your breath. And this is embarrassing. And he just kind of stood there and let her hand it because his wife could handle it. And he knew she could. That's, you know, a man giving his wife space to TCB. Now, if the husband had probably gotten froggy, then I think he would have gotten involved. But I say this. I thought it was crazy, first off, because they're entitled to their privacy. And I would never stop like a celebrity while they're having dinner with their family and be like, can you take a picture with me? And then lose my mind when they don't. Because she was screaming all kinds of stuff at his wife. Like, you're never going to be welcome in this town. She was calling her all kinds of stuff, which is insane to me. But OK. But I was watching this video and I'm like, weren't people denigrating his wife just like a week earlier because of Harrison Bucker? And saying you're a homemaker, like that's a pejorative and all this other stuff. I watched this 6 foot tall glamazon hold her own while this, you know, harpy was. Burp, 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 burp. I watched this lady hold her own. And I'm like, half y'all out there trying to denigrate her for being a mom. You couldn't do what she just did here. She had grace, poise. She didn't match the belligerency of this other lady. It was pretty phenomenal. And I think that the same thing applies to Sam Alito's wife here, Justice Alito's wife. She's going to fly that flag and she's going to do what she wants to do. She's not going to let some 30-year-old babies, these yuppie babies. I mean, they're 30 years old. That's like the Hunter Biden syndrome. Why can't they have their own property? Why do they got to squat in their parents' property? Living next door, acting like fools and doing this stuff and disrupting the peace of that neighborhood. And then they work with the New York Times, who very happily will work with the media because they believe, as Joe Biden does, that they should pack the Supreme Court. And they craft this stupid BS narrative. I like Alito's response. It was great.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, I don't want to... Oh, yeah. They're trying to say that one of the side effects of that... Oh, is it Ozempic? The weight loss shot thing that people do? They said that it apparently... I read this article this morning that said that it's impulse control... That's a side effect of it is impulse control. Sidebar, I watched the South Park, the weight loss special. That was actually hysterical. That was really funny. Let's see. We already had this headline. This is the second time this is in here. Police say 3 LA County 7-Eleven stores were robbed in an hour. It's LA. Shocker. Let's see. A Campbell man, I don't even know who Campbell was arrested for elder abuse. So a guy punched a guy in the face and the guy was elderly. Next. This IRS apparently stole the files of at least 50,000 Americans, much higher than previously acknowledged, according to Americans for Tax Reform. They said that because this was a story, remember, but I think that people were unaware of how widespread it was. It's the IRS thief find the largest set of private taxpayer information in history, stole the individual and business tax files of 50,000 to 70,000 people, according to a Wall Street Journal piece written by one of the victims of the theft. In the sentencing, the government said that they understated the amount of victims by thousands. But actually, it was tens of thousands. It was 50,000 felonies. The guy committed 50,000 felonies, but he got charged with one single count. And the victims include like Oprah Winfrey, LeBron James, Lauren Michaels, Floyd Mayweather, Michael Jordan, Calvin Klein. Like most of them are not famous, but those are the famous ones. So many of them are about to get a notification from the Treasury that your privacy was compromised. Yeah, the guy only got 5 years for 50,000 felonies. That's crazy. How was that just a singular count? I don't get how that's one singular count. A poll says a majority of Democrats approve of replacing Biden on the 2020 or 2024 ticket, replacing him with a new new Democrat nominee. The Rasmussen poll of 1,113 likely voters conducted from mid-May found that 54% of Democrats think it's acceptable. Wow. I mean, you know, they did go to the virtual nomination to bypass all of that stuff at the convention. There's a reason why they did it. Just saying. Israel's mass casualty strike in Rafah, apparently, people were saying it doesn't cross Biden's red line, mainly because Israel didn't do it. I don't know why people are insisting that somehow Israel did this, but they said they did not cause the fire in Rafah, that it was not from their missile. They did not use a missile in that airstrike. That's not what they said. No, remember the last time that Israel was blamed for something and the video footage came out and it showed it was Hamas's own rocket that hit their own hospital and Israel was blamed for it? Same thing is happening here. So coming up, our friend Seth Weathers is doing a car giveaway. You know him. He's behind conservative dad's ultra right beer. He's next. Stick with us.
Craving a daily dose of intellectual adrenaline? Look no further than the Dana Show podcast, where curiosity meets courage, by following on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's been a wild ride since I started Conservative Dad's Ultra Right Beer, and we're just getting started.
We got back to the basics. Great beer, fun, patriotism, fast cars, and beautiful real women, and 100% woke-free.
But some people tell me I need to tone down the politics in our ads, so I'm making this ad just for them.
I swear I had this as a Matchbox car back in the day. Like, you remember the old metal Matchbox cars that, like, they felt like miniature actual toy, like actual cars, toy size? I had that. It was the 1977 Pontiac Trans Am from Smokey and the Bandit that was driven in the movie with one of the greatest actors to ever grace celluloid, Lord Burt Reynolds. Who was a good-looking man up to his dying day, and I'll fight you on that hill. Welcome back to The Dana Show. Dana Lash here with you at the bottom of this third hour. Back when men had hair on their chest for their gold medallions to lay on, right? Isn't that, it's a nest for the necklace. Anyway, welcome back to the program. So that was a commercial from Ultra Right Beer. And one of my favorite things to do, by the way, and we're going to bring on Seth Weathers in just a second. One of my favorite things to do is if, like, you're entertaining, right? And you maybe don't know all of the political leanings of everybody, although in my house it's very rare unless somebody brings a date. I may not know where they stand politically. That's the first thing I offer them. I don't offer them a glass of wine. I'm like, here, would you like a brew? And it's nice and cold, right? And I also provide a nice cold stein for them also. Their expression is going to tell me whether I'm going to take them out of the house by their ear or if they're staying. So joining us right now, and you can find all of this over at conservativedadscar.com, ultrarightbeer.com as well, conservative dad himself, Seth Weathers, who joins us now with his pyramid of beer behind him. Everyone needs a nice ziggurat of brewskis. It's good to be with you.
it's great to be back.
So tell me this, because I asked you this. This is my first question was, is this the car? Because I wanted to know if Burt Reynolds breathed on it, because I'm kind of a big fan of Burt Reynolds. And I was like, did Burt Reynolds breathe on this car? Is it the one that's actually that he touched and was around?
Unfortunately, it is not that one.
Because I would fight you for it.
It looks just like it, though.
It does. So. It looks just like it. Does it come with a new set of tires? Because I watched you drive in that commercial three times now.
We actually did have to get new tires.
I knew tires.
It. It was pretty bad. But we had a lot of fun doing that. But car certainly held up under a lot of conditions that day. So we're pretty
impressed. You're giving this car away.
I'm really starting to regret it, to be honest, but I kind of can't take it back now. My 7-year-old is very upset about this.
Yeah. I mean, it's a beautiful car, and everybody knows Smokey the Bandit. So tell me, where did you get the idea where you're like, you know what? Let's give away a Pontiac Trans Am. Let's go ahead and do it. The Smokey the Bandit car with some beer. Cause that's how you're automatically entered yep. when you purchase some brew, correct?
Yep. And you can also just go, there's a link. You can also just enter a cell phone number, sign up for text messages. That also enters you. So there's other ways that people can enter. But, you know, we did a commercial a while back, Smokey and the Conservative Dad, that we thought was pretty fun. Mm-hmm. I have no idea how we came up with that. Probably, I'm pretty sure I just wanted an excuse to get one of these old cars.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And so that's how it. Yeah,
I would
so that's
do the same thing. I would do yeah, something exactly. where I could. I'd have to use like a 1970 Challenger or something like that, just as an excuse.
That'd
to
be nice.
See, yeah, I'm telling you. So you came up with the idea for this car, and you can go to conservativedadscar.com as well to see like you know everything, all online orders. Everybody's automatically entered to win, so they can win. So like, what do you just like show up with beer in the car like when they win? Like, how does that work?
We are going to fill the trunk with beer, oddly enough. But we're going to pick the winner on August 21st, and then we'll have some kind of something to actually give it away shortly thereafter. But the program goes all the way to the 21st of August, and then we select who the winner is.
You can have like an Ed McMahon. He's dead, right? Ed McMahon. You can have like an Ed McMahon kind of like giveaway, right?
Well, we actually have some fun ideas on that. We can't share just yet that we're finalizing, but I think we're going to have fun with the giveaway for sure.
Ooh,
that I think it'd be a great car for you. I could see you hopping around.
Okay,
Dallas
so please talk to my husband about this. Because see, at first I was like, I would love a 70s Challenger. I wanted the Dodge Demon. I really wanted that. And I just told a story a little earlier how Richard Rawlings, who we know, he's a great guy. We're at the same dealership, and it was the last one in the DFW area, and Rawlings got it. He got the car. He drove away. I saw a video later of him driving away in the car that I wanted. And my husband.
Do you really need a Dodge Demon?
Yeah, that's like not that a question you need to be asking a woman. Because my husband was like, you know what? It's for the best because you'd wrap it around a tree. That's what he tells me about every car that goes faster than 60. He's like, I know how you drive. You're going to wrap it around a tree. I'm like, I'm not. I promise. But I feel like this car would suit me well, Seth.
I think it would. I think it would. It's a fun car to drive, that's for sure. Like I said, I'm gonna be sad to give it up, but I think whoever wins it's gonna be thrilled to have the car. And you know,
this commercial was full of patriotism and all the things that you mentioned, because beer commercials have been boring, and it makes me not want to drink their beer.
And beautiful real women.
Look, good-looking women in commercials. Women like good-looking women. We don't want to see ugly women in commercials. I'm going to say it. You can't. I don't want to see an ugly fat chick in a commercial because I'm not going to buy anything from an ugly fat chick, right?
I agree.
Exactly.
I want to get the balance of the weight off the car anyway.
It's a psychological thing. Like men will be like, that's the kind of woman I'd like to date. Women will be like, I'd like to be in shape like that woman or have hair like that woman or whatever. It's a psychological thing. There's like, you know, there's some smarts that go along with the advertising that they're just not getting today, Seth.
I agree. And we're trying to provide that to people that are looking back to when things were a little simpler. Men were men and women were women. And we're trying to promote that in our marketing. And we're out there doing a lot of things. Obviously, we do have a political mission with what we are as a company. We want to be a great beer, but we're also a movement company. You know, we're donating to causes that are important to conservatives. We fully funded a school board race last year. We ended up donating $100,000 to the Trump electors lawsuit here in Georgia. So we're putting our money where our mouth is on a lot of these things. Big corporate liberal companies do it for all their left-wing projects. Yeah. So we're going to do it for the right wing.
So let me get this straight. The more beer you drink, the more good you do.
This is actually true. And, you know, the 1776 Project PAC, which overturned school board races, is happy every time they hear an ultra-right crack open because they know they're going to get a portion.
That's the sound of freedom. Imagine that.
Quite
I mean,
literally.
That's every time you drink. See, the more beer you drink, America, the more ultra-right beer you drink, the more good that is done, the more that communism is defeated. You're literally fighting communism with beer.
Every single day. Hey, this country was actually founded in taverns over beer.
It was. So the King Street Patriots founded in a pub. Yes.
Yep.
This country is founded by beer.
We're looking to bring that back. And, you know, obviously we have a lot of exciting things in the future with the brand. We have some other flavors that we're working on, beverages that we're working on coming out with. So we have some fun stuff coming in the future for sure.
Let me ask you this. We're talking to Seth Weathers with Ultra Right Beer, and you can find it at ultrarightbeer.com, and it'll also take you right to that amazing giveaway with that 1977 Pontiac Trans Am. This car's older
than me.
It's
81.
This is an 81? The original is the 77. The original
77 was the first movie. This would have been the second movie model.
Okay, so this is the 81 Pontiac Trans Am. So giving away this beautiful car. I was looking literally all weekend for this Matchbox car because I think I saved some of them because I'm a freak. Because I don't think I gave this one to my boys. I did withhold a few things. I did. Sorry.
They're actually valuable. I've seen them on eBay and stuff. They're hard to find.
They are very difficult to find. Let me ask you this. Speaking of younger generations, like the, what is it, like Gen Z that are in their 20s now, I was reading that they're drinking like less beer and less wine and all of this. Do you find that that pendulum is going to swing the other way, though? Because I feel like they're turned off with all the marketing and messaging that's completely antithetical to what America's about.
Yeah, I think so. And well, there are some trends with that, but there, well, we go through trends with beverages. I mean, you have some of the, you know, the ready to drink
cocktails. Those are nasty. Yeah. Who does that?
Phases, all these things come and go. And so everything's on a different phase. I don't know how long that lasts. Beer is going to be around forever.
Yeah.
That is for sure. And the conservative people in that age range, they tend to be drinking beer, it appears. So when we go out places, they're all about it. So I think that might be a temporary blip.
Are you involved in like the frat boy summer stuff? Because as we saw colleges winding down, we saw these amazing fraternity brothers go out and protect the flag and stand against all these like terrorist supporting Hamas, you know, fans out there, which was amazing to see. And one of them, they're going to have apparently a big kegger. Are you going to do ultra right, you know, frat boy summer?
We actually were doing that. We were in the process of putting one together there with those guys in North Carolina, and it was going along great. There would have been a huge crowd. And I know it's almost impossible to imagine a frat party could be too big and too fun, but it appears it was getting too big and too fun for some people. And so they shut it down. So unfortunately we did not get to do it, but there is talk about doing something when they come back in the fall, as well as some other people there as also. So it should be a fun time.
I love it. I love what you guys do. And it's fun. It's like, it makes stuff fun again. And we just,
absolutely.
I feel so deprived of that.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, conservatives, like, we have very important issues. We know how bad things are. We know how pivotal some of these situations we're in as a country right now. And so maybe it makes us, it's maybe a little hard to throw fun into it, but you can't just completely take yourself out of culture and out of reality and not have fun with things anymore if you want to actually change the culture.
Right.
And so we're kind of going where the people are and providing them a product that they love and that they want that just has our twist on it.
And you can get a nice 1981 Pontiac Trans Am too, smoking the bandit style. And just don't drive it like Seth did, because you'll have to replace your tires after one afternoon. Just don't do that. Just don't do that. You go to ultrarightbeer.com and get it. It's ultraripe. Oh, one last thing I was going to tell you, because my stepdad was always a big, you know.
I know. We got to get him converted. Have you got him?
And when he was down here over Christmas, he went for the ultraripe beer in the fridge. And because I refused to bring, he found like an old, I don't know where he found it. I guess I had it hidden somewhere, an old Bud Light, and it was in there, a bottle, but he didn't drink it. He went for the ultra. I think he liked your beer better. He'd never say, but you know, cause he's St. Louis born and bred, you know, I think he was born in the bowels of the brewery there. But he was drinking ultra right beer and he went through it. Cause he enjoys a brewski. So he liked it.
It's a great beer. Well, we'll have to bring the car out and meet him. We may be out in Texas with the car at some point in the next few months. So we'll have to come let you. We'll let you tear up the tires for a change. I think that'd be fun to watch.
We're not telling
Chris
this. I've
got great insurance.
We're not telling Chris this. I'm not going to wrap it around a tree. So we're just, no one on social media say a damn thing. Y'all keep your mouth shut, but it's going to happen. Seth Weathers, ultrarightbeer.com. Make sure you go get your beer and you're automatically entered to win my Trans Am. There you go.
Take care, guys.
Good to see you. Thanks so much, Seth. Congrats.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
Hashtag FJB.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, ain't it?
Man, I'm telling you, it is.
Hashtag Joe Biden.
Do you know what FJB means?
No.
Joe Biden.
Oh, goodness. That's what I say, too. Him.
Oh my gosh. So this lady looks like my Aunt Joni, I gotta say, with her white hair. That's adorable. I love it. Welcome back to the program, Dana Lash here. Oh, can we adopt her as a mama? I'd like to adopt her. She's a riot. All right, so welcome back to the program. Make sure you go sign up over at Substack Chapter and Verse, because in the event, I think they said that they're gonna go to like 4 or 4:30 today, the jury. That's Eastern time, so that's like 3:30 Central. If there is a, like any kind of like, you know, they come out with a decision, or even if they don't, you know, we'll have that in the thing. But if they come out with the decision, there's going to be a piece out about that shortly. So make sure you sign up. And we also have, you know, the prep email that comes out, all those good things too. In the meantime, the couple of other things to hit on as well, because we didn't get to everything. We were talking about the Bidens, and we were going over the this whole thing with the trial, which is wild. I have to tell you about this argument that the Met is having. Oh gosh, should I get to the Vegas alien video later?
Yeah. Or, probably.
Because that's like a big one that we got to talk about.
Yeah, we have a limited amount of time here.
That's going to be tomorrow. So this has to do with a thing that we've seen before. We actually showed the video in headlines when it happened. And it was like body cam footage of the police like showing up, and there was like an 8-foot-tall alien or something. It was very Signs, like M. Night Shyamalan Signs kind of thing. Well, apparently there's like a million developments with the story. It hasn't gone away, and we'll touch on it. So we'll talk about it. The Met Museum, Metropolitan Museum of Art, they have their first Native American curator, but now all the other Native American tribes, all the indigenous campaigners, are questioning her. They said that she's not a real Native American. And in fact, one of the quotes was, "She wants to be the only Native American in the room," is what one woman accused her of. And she said that she's pure Apache, and that her family roots are from Mexico, Northern Mexico, and Texas. And apparently that is not one of the officially recognized nations from the U.S. Department of Interior's Indian Affairs Division. So they're saying she's a fake Native American. And one woman who is a member of Cherokee Nation, she compiled genealogy of this woman's family. She said, "We wonder why that with all of the Native American scholars out there, why the Met chose her. She's definitely not Native American." So is this like another Elizabeth Warren type situation?
I mean, but she looks the part, at least. She looks the part.
She looks like she is. Yeah.
They're calling her a pretendian. A pretendian.
But they're calling her a pretendian. She looks like she is, but I don't.
Elizabeth Warren is definitely.
Elizabeth Warren definitely wasn't. So yeah, it was a problem. Anyway, so that's we'll have all the latest for you on the trial coming up at Substack. All right, in the meantime, today in stupidity.
Oh, believe it or not, our president.
No.
Our
oh, this
president,
is a good one, isn't
he
it?
He made it on today, man. In stupidity
I've
again.
For this one.
It's probably 100 times this year. Did we have do we have the internet back in the day?
When?
Let's listen to what he says here. Listen.
I promise to access affordable high-speed internet.
Ooh.
Because now internet is just as important as it was in the days of Franklin Roosevelt.
Wait a minute. Wait, internet was as important as the days of Franklin Roosevelt?
Wait, did... We didn't have the internet back
I'm
then.
I'm thinking that was a mistake.
Yeah, we didn't have the internet back in that time.
Did he go to school with him, by the way?
Who?
Franklin Roosevelt?
He may have.
He could have.
Probably killed Bo. It rolled over him. I don't know.
Yeah, so that's our president, guys. Yeah,
there you go. Mm-hmm. Makes all the sense in the world, doesn't it? Folks, that does it for us today. I hope you have a wonderful evening. Find us on Facebook, YouTube, like, and subscribe. And also Substack. Find us over at Substack as well. Have a great night. Back with you tomorrow. Oh, I'll be on Jesse Waters tonight in the 7 p.m. Central hour.